As you may have heard me mentioning earlier on, Alcoholics Anonymous are celebrating 80 years in Ireland this year. And every year they hold a convention. And this year the convention is happening in Killarney at the Gleneagle Hotel. And it's going to continue over Killarney or over a number of days in Killarney. And there's 200 delegates coming to the convention from abroad, including quite a large delegation from America and New York in particular. And the convention is all about spreading the message of hope and help for people struggling with alcohol. And while a lot of the meetings over the weekend will be confidential, there are a number of meetings that will be open to the public as well if people want to go along and find out more about what Alcoholics Anonymous does. Now, because of that, we thought it might be interesting to speak to somebody who has recovered from alcoholism and is leading a very full life, having given up drink a long, long time ago. And I suppose by way of introducing her, a lot of people might, when they think of the word alcoholic, they think of somebody who's maybe up an alleyway with a bottle of whiskey inside in a brown paper bag, down on their luck, whatever. But the reality is there's an awful lot of people who are and have been for a long time what you might call functioning alcoholics. And that was the case for this lady in particular. Her name is Garodine, and she's now in her 60s and she's been sober for more than 40 years. But when Garodine was a young professional woman in her 20s and started drinking, that is where the problems began for her. And only for the AA, her life might have gone in a very different direction. Garodine very kindly agreed to speak to me earlier and told me a little bit of her story.
Well, I came to AA in my mid-20s. My mother would always be saying, like, you know, don't be drinking. You'll never have anything if you drink. So drinking wasn't really on my agenda. But then I was in work and going out with the crowd and things like that. And I thought to myself, like, you know, no harm having a drink or two. And I was fine for a year or two. And then, you know, I started to drink more and more. And then finally, I'm thinking to myself, you know, I'm drinking too much. And a friend of mine had said it to me. And of course, we're very, very reluctant to admit. Like we have a big book which says, who cares to admit defeat? So nobody runs in the door and says, I'm delighted to be here.
Of course.
Yeah, most people only come as a last resort. And I was in that category. You know, I just did not want to come, and I just thought, like, that alcoholics were people who were drinking out of a bottle and down the side of the street. That's what I thought, like, and, you know, I mean, I didn't think that somebody like me with a good job, you know, could possibly be in this category.
And how was it affecting your life, Garodine, at the time? You were holding down a job, obviously, but I presume...
I was a functioning alcoholic, what I was called as a functioning alcoholic, yeah. Well, the thing I noticed, I never had any money for anything because all of it went on drink. And I was always telling lies about where I was and what I was doing because you couldn't be telling people. And
okay.
The other thing that I lived the country, I lived out in the country. And you know, when I was... one of the things I would do maybe on an evening when I had run out of drink, and I had no car at this time either, I'd take the bus into the nearest city to buy drink. Now, I didn't see that as abnormal at all, like, you know, but I certainly knew at the back of my head there's something not right about this.
Okay. And how did you react when your friend suggested to you that you were drinking too much?
Well, she certainly came off my Christmas card list straight away. I said to myself, God, I'm vital. Like, I was absolutely mad, you know, that somebody would say to me. But again, it kind of woke me up to the fact, you know, that it wasn't right, but right. But I had been thinking about it before that, but it, as usual, you think people don't notice. Because a fair thing in Alcoholics Anonymous is a denial. You know, you kind of deny, I can't be this bad. Surely to God, I can't be this bad, but I was.
So were you drinking alone a lot at home, Geraldine?
Yeah. That was towards the end. Towards the end of my drinking, that's how I drank. You know, I figured out like it was cheaper to drink at home.
And was
it was to be going out. Yeah, isolation, you know, when you're getting to the bad stage, like isolation tends to happen. Like, you know, you kind of want to not be seen, like, you know, to be drinking too much. And of course then got into the habit as well then as having a few drinks before I went out.
Yeah. And was it wine or spirits or what?
Strangely enough, I hardly ever drank beer, you know. I just drank gin.
Yeah.
Brandy. And really at the end anything.
Yeah.
At the end, anything. I wasn't a particularly a wine drinker because I wasn't brought up in that culture.
Yeah.
I said gin and then I said small bottles of vodka and small bottles of gin.
What about family? Were you living alone at this time or were there people?
No, I was not. I was living at home, but I was good at hiding it. You know, I was living at home, but I was good at hiding it.
Yeah.
By that time, then I had moved out home, like, you know, we went into what we called a flat at that time. So I went in there, you know, and we were, like, of course, that was a bit of freedom.
So it affected your family life, obviously, it goes without saying.
It goes without saying it affected my, and my work. One of the things I'd noticed about my work, certainly towards the end, was I couldn't remember stuff. You know, since I couldn't remember, like, you know, I had blackouts, you know, where, you know, I think, you know, to help me get over stuff, you know, and just help me cope, you know. So I found it very, very hard. But it was, again, and I couldn't pick up the message because the people who were already in the program, you know, were saying to me, it's just in the day, just keep it in the day. Don't drink for today. And, you know, like, just wait until tomorrow then before you decide. Because I wanted to be well after 2 weeks.
And
but I wasn't.
Did you have any lapses?
No, never had a lapse.
Well, yeah, done.
I hung in there like my finger and nails. I said, I do recall this one evening. I was at a meeting and I was all shook up that evening, like, and I was sitting on my hands thinking, I'm going to have to drink tomorrow, or I am going to have to drink tomorrow. But I didn't, like, you know, I struggled through that. And the other thing, too, like, you know, people would give you their telephone numbers and say, call me if you feel like drinking. And I did that.
Did you do it often?
No. Yeah. I was not very good at that, like, you know, but I see now, you know, that wasn't exactly the right way, and I was really blessed, is all I can say, blessed to make my way through the first few months.
And how important was the AA to your recovery, Geraldine?
Oh, very important. Oh, yeah, very important. Like, you know, because it has, you know, we have what they call a program for living. They're called the 12 steps. Now, the first one says, like, you know, that I was powerless of alcohol, which I kind of knew. And the second part of that step says my life was unmanageable, which I couldn't accept at all. You know, so, but I knew, and, you know, listening to the people, too, when I went in there and hearing, like, you know, how bad they had been, I felt kind of not so bad, you know, that I had kind of got in. And they used to say that to me, you know, aren't you lucky you got in so early? But I thought it was a real pain to have got in so early. I thought, like, you know, I could have waited until I was 50 or something.
Yeah. And how many years is it now since you had a drink?
40.
Oh, my God. That's incredible. And what is so...
Thank God for all that. Like, you know, I have a great belief in a higher power, you know, God, that I would call God myself, and that, you know, gets me through. And I said the people that helped me, and, you know, I do service as well, you know, which is what I'm doing now, is called service, you know, for other people to hear what it was like for me, because that's what I heard, when I came in, that people had got well and recovered from it and lived a normal life.
And people need to hear that as well if they're at the start.
Oh yeah. You can get well and you can lead a normal life and you won't be thinking about you can build a new life. You know, it may seem difficult when you look at it like written down on paper saying this is what you do, and then you think, you know, that I can't do it, because there is, you know, a piece in the big book which says too, like, you know, that it tells you, like, you know, you have to be honest with yourself. Like, you know, you have to admit and you have to work on yourself. And you'll get all that help, you know. And, you know, there's lots of help you can get. You just have to ask for it too.
And that's Garodine there, who has been sober for more than 40 years, one of more than 200 people who'll be in Killarney this weekend for the Alcoholics Anonymous Convention to mark their 80th year. After the break, we'll hear a little more from Garodine. We'll be hearing her thoughts on modern drinking culture. And she'll also talk to us a little bit about alcohol-free socialising.
What do you want to talk about? Get in touch by phone, text or email.
Now, ahead of the Alcoholics Anonymous Convention, which is happening in Killarney this weekend, we've been hearing from Garodine, who has been sober now for more than 40 years, having run into problems with alcohol as a young woman in her 20s. Before the break, she was telling us a little bit about how she got sober. And the next thing I asked her in part two of the interview was how she found life was like socialising sober. And did she find it hard to socialise without alcohol?
I did in the beginning, because I wanted to continue the way I had been. You know, I really wanted to continue, you know, socializing as I had, and I moved away from that because, you know, it just didn't suit me anymore. Like, you know, it's no fun when you have people with a half a dozen drinks and you haven't had any.
Yeah.
you know, you just don't find it fun anymore.
So you found a new way to socialize?
Oh, I found a new way to socialize. I actually took up golf. And they would suggest that, but it was just by chance, like, you know, that I did all that, and I got by anyway. That's all I can say, like, you know, because you have to get interested in new things.
I mean, you're a great advertisement for the fact that there is life after recovery and a good life as well.
Oh yeah, there's definitely a good life, and it's hard to believe that in the very beginning when you come into the fellowship. It's very hard, and sometimes for younger people. Like, I have great sympathy for younger people coming in today, you know, because it's probably even harder for them than maybe it was in my time.
Yeah.
And you know, and you kind of see, like, you know, when I went in, I was young, and all of the people in there were much older than me. And I'm thinking, like, you know, this is what I thought. Like, those old fuddy-duddies won't know anything about me. But I can tell you this much. Those fuddy-duddies were well able for me. And they were a great help.
Yeah.
Because they'd been there and done that.
What do you make of it nowadays, Garodine? There's a lot of young people drinking too much nowadays, particularly young women. We hear from the statistics that a lot of young women and middle-aged women, you know, there's this whole wine o'clock culture. And a lot of the rehab facilities are seeing more women coming forward. Does that make you sad? What do you feel about all of that?
Well, it's hard for me to, you know, it's very hard for us to comment, like, you know, on how other people drink, because I really only have my own story.
Yeah.
But I do see some of the younger people coming in, and I think, you know, it's actually probably a little harder for them, you know, because as you have said, the culture we have here. And the other thing too is, like, you know, there's still a bit of a stigma about drinking too much and being alcoholic.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's very hard for people to accept that, because they think, like, you know, and I recall that in my earlier days, you know, when I'd be going to the meeting, I'd be saying, I hope there's nobody here that I know, and I hope nobody sees me coming in here, you know, and they'll think I'm an alcoholic, like, and that I'm different. But that's not the case. I think even today, you know, because even though, you know, people it's much more acceptable actually today. I visited America a few times, and you know they take it there. You know, it's no big deal at all.
Really, very different attitude.
Different attitude. You know, whereas we have a drinking culture, and people find it hard to accept. People don't really want to admit it. It's hard for people to admit it.
Yeah,
that's the hardest part. Like, you know, but it does sneak along. Like, you know, it's very sneaky. There's a line in our big book which says alcohol is cunning, baffling, and powerful.
Yeah,
and you know, without any doubt, it's all of those. You know, because you know it your mind talks to you and says, "Oh, you're not that bad." You can keep going on it, and you know when you start keep going on it, you kind of lose yourself as well.
And Geraldine, let's face it, there will be people listening to this interview who somewhere in the back of their minds know that they have a problem with alcohol and they haven't faced up to it yet. What's your advice to them?
Well, I would probably say that my advice would be to them is try stopping for a while and staying stopped. Like, you know, I mean, if you're thinking that drinking is affecting your life, again, it comes back to honesty. How do you think it's affecting you? And you know, would you want it to continue?
Yeah.
I mean, it's very hard. And that's probably the... Because there's lots more information today. Like, you know, when I came in, there was no web page. I think in the place that I was, there was only two meetings a week. I mean, now we have meetings every night of the week. We have them at different times during the day. They have a website that tells you where you can find AA. And, you know, there's helpful and you know, there's lots of ways of finding out. But again, the person themselves... the person that has to answer the question.
So you're saying make that first call or go to put your head in the door of that meeting.
Yeah, that's right. You know, or find out a bit more about it, and there's loads of literature as well. Like, you know, we have literature that says it asks you 20 questions. You know, and the questions are like, you know, how does it affect your life? How does it affect, like, you know, your work life? How does it affect your home life? Do you have, like me, blackouts and things like that? And you know. I think if you're answering yes to some of those questions, you know, then you have to start thinking yourself, like, you know, should I do something? Do I want to go on like this? I said it's hard for me because I too was reluctant. You know, I mean, if you were probably talking to me way back then, I'd be denying all of that and saying that's really that bad.
Yeah. But before we let you go, I presume it's the 80th anniversary of the AA in Ireland. So
that's how long AA is in Ireland.
Well, listen,
and like, you know, you can just walk in to listen. Like, you know, you don't have to say anything. You don't have to admit anything. And if you have a person in your life, like, you know, who's drinking, they can go in as well and hear what's going on, because like Al-Anon is there as well. That's a group that helps people who have friends, partners, sons, daughters who are drinking. They have a place with literature in there as well, and they can help people from that side. But if you're in the drinking category, you know, there are meetings there where people will share. People can also ask questions, and you don't have to admit anything. Just, like, you know, find out what it's about and take it from there.
And that was Geraldine speaking to me yesterday ahead of the AA 80th anniversary convention happening in Killarney at the Glen Eagle Hotel between the 17th and the 19th of April inclusive. And a very special year for the AA in Ireland, because 8 decades ago, Ireland's first AA meeting took place on a cold November evening in 1946, would you believe? And a little more about the organisation. They have around, AA Ireland has around 800 groups. They run 2,000 meetings every week in Ireland, 365 days a year. Most of those are in person, but there's online groups as well. And the fellowship now has an estimated 15,000 members plus. So incredible story there from Geraldine. It just goes to show that alcoholics come in all shapes and sizes and genders and age ranges and everything. But I think she was very generous with her story. Her story is a little bit different, I think. But nonetheless, I'm sure a lot of people out there can relate to it and will get inspiration from it. So the Alcoholics Anonymous website is where you go if you want to find out more about some of those open meetings that are open to the public at the Gleneagle this weekend. One listener was in touch and said it was great listening to that lady from AA telling the story of how hard it is to get fit and to get and find recovery. But once you find it, you can hang on to it if you believe that it's a very precious gift from God. I am just over 30 years clean and sober myself. I have a great life, but I need to mind my thinking. I need to be aware that it's my thinking that will get me into trouble. My professional training was not able to keep me sober, so I went for help to Alcoholics Anonymous, which helped me realise that my problem was my thinking, says that listener. So well done to that person, clean and sober for over 30 years. So it can be done.